What do you think about Jane Jacobs?
Or I think that poor Jane Jacobs is the most abused person in history. Like, she's
the most abused person in history?
All right. Hi, welcome to Infill, where we talk local San Francisco politics and policy. I'm Laura Clark, YIMBY Action.
I'm Sam Moss from Mission Housing.
And special guest, very special guest, the brokest of the Stewarts. Brokass, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Brokass Stewart. And I like how you looked at me and said special like it was short, but special.
In
it was
quotes.
Cute. Yeah. In quotes. My name is Stuart Chuffin, a.k.a. Brokass Stewart. I'm a writer, a performer, an activist, a loudmouth, and a general no goodnik. So yeah,
former mayoral candidate.
Former mayoral. Yeah, I cannot believe it. Former mayoral candidate. It's a mouthful. And I've done television. I've done books. I've done lots of stuff. And my main thing is my website, brokassstewart.com.
Yes. Okay. And we're gonna talk about. I don't know. What are we gonna talk about, Broke?
I don't know. Whiskey.
Let's talk about San Francisco.
I can talk about San Francisco.
Yeah,
I've been here once or twice.
Have you? Yeah. How long have you been here for?
In June, I will have first moved here 16 years ago this June.
Oh, nice. So does that mean you're a local now? Is there
I'm definitely not a native, but I'm definitely local.
Is there a certain amount of years? I've always wondered.
I don't know.
What's the year threshold for being a local? Like, is there a local card? That's all I'm saying.
You're never going to get it, Sam.
I'll get it someday.
But you're different.
I am different, yeah.
How long have you been here for?
10 years.
You're
yeah.
local.
Awesome. So you hear that, everyone? I'm a local San Franciscan.
I don't think that's how it works at all. What is this word?
That's exactly how it works. Like, a local says you're local, and then you're local.
Okay, I'm at a little more than four.
You'll get there.
One day. I think it's like 7 years.
Yeah, don't rush it. Don't rush it. Okay.
Yes. Okay, so Stuart, tell us something you think about housing.
It's fucked up.
It is fucked up.
Yeah.
I agree. Why do you think it's fucked up?
Obviously, there's the rash of evictions that we've seen. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly expensive. My column, I write for the San Francisco Examiner, and my column that I wrote today, it'll be out tomorrow, is about, going to the Noise Pop kickoff. It's Noise Pop right now. And for those listening, Noise Pop is a 11-day festival of music and art in San Francisco. So we went to the kickoff party, and it was like the friends and family and, badge holder kickoff party. And I looked around, and it was cool to see all the people I've known for many, many years. And looking around, I was like, we're still here. Some of us are still here. People mm-hmm. who have had whether like creative relationships or friendships with for a decade plus. Mm-hmm. And, there's fewer and fewer of us here. But the idea that we can even be here at all, we're all miracles, the fact that we are here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
no, everybody I met, so when I first moved to San Francisco, like 4 years ago or so, in Chicago, I was just working a series of dead-end jobs. And so I continued that tradition when I moved to San Francisco. And so everybody I met in sort of food service and sales and whatnot, so every single person that I met in the first 6 months that I lived here is now gone. Mm-hmm. And, like, that is tragic. Like, they, some of them... And every time we send out our newsletter, I get people back saying, hey, sorry, I had to move back in with my parents. Like, right. I don't live mm-hmm. here anymore.
I think Joe Fitz put out a article, I think he wrote this just the other day, about how... now kids at state have to decide between books and food.
Right. Mm. That's insane.
Because it's too expensive.
Yeah.
Things are out of control.
They are.
No, and then meanwhile, the Balboa Park Reservoir... just turning it to policy because I can't help it. But I just like the fact that the college isn't sure if it wants housing at Balboa Park Reservoir and wants to maintain it as a parking lot is like the most frustrating thing to me.
Yeah.
That like... your students are in crisis, primarily by housing, and mm-hmm. they have this workaround where they're driving to the school, but, like, the obvious long-term solution is a lot of housing around your campus.
Right.
And they're just, like, cutting off their nose to spite their face, saying, like, no, our students need the parking spaces rather than, like, building a lot of mm-hmm. housing.
I mean, I can see there's kind of a catch-22 there, like, because if people can't afford to be there, then they have to drive in.
Mm-hmm.
And thus we have, our public transit is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not amazing,
But it exists.
It exists.
In a way that you can depend on it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess, I mean...
And we need more people opting into that.
Sure. And we're talking City College, right?
Yeah. So this, just for the listeners out there, so like the City College, San Francisco City College out on Ocean, the main campus, is across the street from this thing called the Balboa Reservoir, which was built to, I believe, reserve water, but has never actually reserved a drop
it's
of
water. It's never reserved water?
No, that's a no, the genius of the West Side is building a reservoir and not calling it a parking lot. But that's what it's been wow. the whole time. And so there's a development team, full disclosure, that Mission Housing's part of. And we're going to build hopefully about at least 1,500 units or so, and 50% of them will be permanently affordable.
50% is a good number.
It is a great number, and you know we've gone to the city.
Well, it depends on how big the 50% is of.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Let's take a win where we can take the win. Okay?
I just hate talking percentages.
Yeah.
Like we
but,
have to.
So anyway,
like,
it's awesome.
The kibosh.
And but like yeah, so it's been frustrating because it, on the one hand I get it. So since the accreditation thing happened. This is the first year, I guess, that enrollment has increased. Mm-hmm. And so their theory is that if we take the parking away, and for full disclosure, parking will be taken away for like half a decade at least. That's how long it'll take to
right.
do the environmental and all that.
Sure.
But if we take the parking away, it will like make the enrollment go down because people won't be able to get to school. And you're totally right about the affordability thing, but like there's three rapid bus lines there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a quarter mile from a BART station, and we are going to have to increase the bus lines just for the sheer fact that like 5,000 to 7,000 humans are going to move into there. And it's been very frustrating watching, you know, I mean the maybe the older City College teachers I could see, you know, if you've like defaulted to getting in a car your whole life to solve your problems, like I kind of get why you'd think public transportation, but you know, the younger students are, I feel like they're being just used to demand more parking, you
right.
know, and I feel bad because we'd love to just build housing for them so they could walk to school.
I mean, that's legit. I'm very pro public transport. I haven't owned a car since 2003.
Nice.
And so, you know, and granted, in more recent years, as I've gotten busier and, you know, I do lift more than I used to,
mm-hmm.
but I still, I love walking. I love taking mass transit because, mm-hmm. like, it's how you soak in a city. It's
mm-hmm.
how you get to be a place instead of just be at a place,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, I mean, I always crack, so, like, we build in the Excelsior and now the West Side, and, like, I live in North Beach and I don't own a car. And it like never like going I, as much as I hate going to community meetings at 10 a.m. on a Saturday, I love getting up and being like, just so everyone knows, I took public transportation here. The world's still turning, you know, like people just don't realize that you can do that and survive.
Yeah.
Now, I've never owned a car. And then I got diagnosed with very mild epilepsy, which is like not serious, but also shouldn't drive.
I'd like you more if you're wearing a helmet. I want you to know that.
Yeah, right? I agree.
No, but it actually...
The Yimby sticker.
But now I get this like, oh, my disability is what makes me an urbanist, right? Like, I should not drive. And so therefore it makes me think differently about like, how do we... There's a vast number of people who should not be driving. Like, no one actually should drive because human beings should not be in charge of 2-ton death machines. Like, that's not
sure.
where, like, have you met people? Like, they should not
Look,
be
this
driving.
This is some unity. We're all
like,
agreeing on something.
I mean, I imagine we agree on, like, 95%
yeah,
of things.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so what do we disagree about?
I don't know. Helmets?
Oh. Yeah.
I'm anti-helmet.
Yeah. I feel like the West Side would be fun to talk about, though.
Yeah.
You know, like, I wonder a lot about the progressive movement, and to me, just from my perspective,
mm-hmm.
Like, running a nonprofit in the Mission and building all over, like, I'm frustrated because I feel like no one is holding the George Wooding, like, neighborhood coalition accountable for being, like, the true reason that we have this affordability crisis in San Francisco.
I don't know who George Wooding is.
Okay, so he runs this glorious, glorious group called the San Francisco Coalition of Neighborhoods.
Coalition for San Francisco
Neighborhoods.
Neighborhoods.
So they're, like, the people who think that the Westwood Park single-family home detached on a giant lot is the real San Francisco values. Like, they're the
yeah.
ones, so, like, with the Eastern neighborhoods, right? 15 years ago, they got the last time there was actually a progressive board of supervisors. They wrote this thing called the Eastern Neighborhoods Plan, and it upzoned the Mission, took all density controls away from the Mission
mm-hmm.
in exchange for basically downzoning 2/3 of the city, the entire West Side, and like an unspoken agreement to never touch it and let it be single family. And so, like, I wonder if you believe that the like tenant rights progressive, you know, do you think there will come a time when that starts to be noticed?
I mean, I hope so. I'm not opposed to, I mean, I am opposed to upzoning the entire city and it becoming Tokyo, you know?
Why?
Because I don't want to live in Tokyo. I could go there if I want to live there. But I do think that, like...
I want to talk about Tokyo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tokyo does not have a displacement crisis.
It also, you know how big Tokyo is? It stretches so far. So it's not confined to 7 miles by 7 miles.
Right.
Well, but we're not either. The entire... I mean, we should think of ourselves as the Bay Area with 101 municipalities.
I agree with you 100%. When I was running for mayor, we actually looked at the concept of a megacity, right? Like Toronto or New York, right? And just to like, do we want to put this on the platform? Because it makes sense, 100%. That's how you get San Mateo to build some shit, you know?
Yep.
But the red tape and logistics would be just nuts. Because, you know, you have... city and counties, right? And then you have counties with multiple cities, and you have all these different, like, even water rights possibly, shit you have to deal with. And there's like so many municipalities and stuff you'd have to deal with, from transit. I mean, the closest thing you can get is right now to that concept, where you said like BART, where it goes multiple municipalities, multiple. But I mean, like, it would take 20 years to sort out the mess of how to even create a megacity. But I'm totally for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. So like the legislation from the state, that's a really good point, right? But like when legislation from the state comes in and says that San Mateo or Lafayette has to build housing, you know, I feel like San Francisco is constantly against it because San Francisco doesn't want to be told what to do.
But we've been absorbing San Mateo's and Lafayette's shit for fucking decades.
Of generations, yeah.
I agree with that.
For sure.
So, I want to pause for... It was a 20-year project to incorporate this in the Bay Area
that was like a nebulous number.
A long time.
No, I think that's fine. That's my goal. Like, I just want it to be stated, like, what do I think the only long-term solution is? Is we will have to incorporate the entire Bay Area into a single regional government. And so, like, just so you know, what is the project that I am on, right? Mm-hmm. It is making the Bay Area affordable. I think that also the only way to actually achieve that, a, like, lasting long-term victory where we have, like, mastered this problem and we can get on to the next problem is to incorporate the entire Bay Area into a single regional government.
Into that. I like that idea. Now, the problem is, do you know how many fights are going to have to be over what we name this fucking thing?
Oh, man. You're right.
San Felamita's land? Yeah.
But, like, I mean, I think that that is a thing that, as far as the YIMBY movement and other groups go, like, I think that we're willing to just be like, yeah, San Francisco will be affected so that the greater good will happen. Like, I inherently believe that 400 units above the Millbrae BART station helps the mission as much as 100 units over the 16th Street BART station.
Well, and I don't know if we talked about this when you were on my podcast, but I was talking with Latifah Simon.
Great podcast, by the way.
Thank you.
The one I was on.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, you were stellar.
We'll link to it in the show notes, but I don't know if I can handle how pleased with themselves these two broskies are. So,
I mean, how could we not be looking at us? We're fucking Adonises.
Yeah, I have an
unbuttoned shirt right now. Unbuttoned down.
With
a pelican on it.
Pelican, yeah.
I have control over the link, so I might make a broken link.
It just rickrolled.
He's just like a sad face, yeah, in analog.
Wait, I want to circle back though, because like, what are you afraid of? What am I afraid of? Right, I am not afraid of Tokyo. I am afraid of homelessness. Right, and I know that sounds like I'm throwing down the gauntlet there, but like really, like Tokyo does not scare me. Mm-hmm. Right, like this scares me.
Sure.
What is happening on Market Street right now with everybody and their, you know, homelessness and rampant tragedy literally everywhere you go in the city, except not everywhere you go in the city, because you walk around Glen Park or Noe Valley and you feel like there's no problems in the city.
Right.
There's just people like enjoying themselves in the sunshine and like they don't actually feel like there's a problem. Like that to me is worse than Tokyo. I'm not afraid of Tokyo.
I mean, I hope you like sushi.
I do.
There's plenty of sushi in Tokyo. No, I know what you mean. I think that...
And we could do Paris. I'd be, you know...
Right, right.
Paris is more reasonable to compare us to than Tokyo.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think that one issue becomes trying to solve... A problem caused by the market, trying to solve it with market-based solutions is very problematic. Because the market is set up to serve the market, right? Mm-hmm. And so, actually, Jane Kim last night at the debate brought up something really interesting.
She's at the Potrero Hill.
The Potrero Hill mayoral debate. She brought, I hadn't heard her talk, anybody talk about this before, but she's interested in putting together a $1 billion bond mm-hmm. that would go to help, because a lot of, like as you probably know, affordable housing developers, they don't want to do 100% affordable housing because they don't think they're going to make any money, and they like it costs them to just do the infrastructure alone for it is too much. So to put together a $1 billion bond that would go to help these developers build more specifically affordable housing because it would cover, you know, the sprinkler systems.
It would subsidize it.
Exactly. And that's kind of like, you know, like a...
But it's illegal to build that housing on the west side right. in most places.
Well, that's absurd.
Yeah. That, and
I mean, I'm just saying, like, right, when you're saying, like, I don't want Tokyo, right, that's maintaining the current zoning where it's illegal to build that housing mm-hmm. because it's all single-family home-only right. zoning. So, like, I'm not opposed. Right. Like, literally, we're supporting the bond that's already...
That would be freaking awesome. I would love $1 billion.
Yeah, $1 billion sounds great, right? I don't totally think she has a plan, but I as soon as there's a good plan... We're mm-hmm. in favor of it. We're already supporting the $4 billion bond that will be on the statewide ballot for November.
Which is what?
For affordable housing. With the state, the last year the state passed like 15 housing bills. Mm-hmm. One of them was the right to put a $4 billion affordable housing bond statewide on the ballot. And then the other one was $75 per every plus $1 million home that transfers. There's a $75 fee that should raise $35 to $40 million a year.
Only $75 on a $1 million plus thing.
They're all, but yeah, we're but in the land generate. Of California. That's like every home, right?
Yeah. Don't you make it $175?
Yo, you like, should okay, the well, fewer over the $75.
Where were you last year?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry, but if you wanted it to be a higher amount, we would have barely loved it. Yeah. Got it.
I mean,
we
almost had to sneak it in by making everyone so mad about SB 35.
This is the part that makes me the angriest about the current conversation is that, and I'm sorry, I'm like, you know, I've had a little whiskey already because that's how we do this. Is that, like, we had this huge statewide fight to get that transfer tax put on there and to get the bond on there, and, like, no one in San Francisco, capital P, progressive politics, seems to know that this is there and that we might not get the bond, that we're all going to have to fucking bust our asses to pass this bond that's going to get $4 billion statewide right. to get more affordable housing built. And in places, not just San Francisco too, right? There are places sure. where it's cheaper to build mm-hmm. affordable housing. I mean, it's all part of this. And like, the myopic nature of, and I have the same critique of actually everyone involved in San Francisco politics, whatever, is that, like, we don't pick our heads up enough and say right. What's happening both at the state level, what's happening at the regional level, what's happening outside of my neighborhood. Why is it that the West Side gets to say no to everything? Why is it that Sandra Lee Feuer gets to identify as a progressive supervisor and her district has built like less than 100 units and she keeps saying, I'm gonna identify parcels for affordable housing? And I'm sorry, but like, you've been on the board for a while now. You could have identified some frickin' parcels. Where are they? And nobody is holding anybody accountable for like being pro-affordable. That is the minimum that I am asking for, is like support the $4 billion bond and like tell Sandra Lee Feuer to get her ass in gear and identify some plots for affordable housing.
I support all that. I think you said people are not looking up, but I think it's literally because you have to look down so you don't step in poop and needles.
That's a good point.
But like, I mean, that's literally and figuratively too. We're so zoned mm-hmm. in on the things happening mm-hmm. locally. Mm-hmm. Because there's so much shit all the time.
And, like, micro-neighborhood locally.
Right,
right. Like, people in the Mission. I have a conversation with them a lot because, you know, I'll go out to the West Side and yell at rich white people. Like, that's great. That's fun. But, like, I used to be like, why won't you come and help me? You know, why won't you Mission activists come with me tonight to Westwood Park, you know, wherever? And it's dawned on me that, like, they feel so under siege that it's all they can do.
Yeah.
To just fight on a project-by-project basis, and that's exhausting, and I don't know that there's been a time in history where, like, fighting on a project-by-project basis actually resulted in winning, like, a, you know, larger movement kind of a thing.
No, you win
it
little...
It did in New York City with, what's her name? When they were trying to put the freeways up through Manhattan, and mm-hmm. she's like, no, you're not going to put a freeway through... Mm-hmm. What's her name? She's a legendary urban activist.
Jean Jacobs?
Jane. Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I guess to that... When the film...
Okay,
the,
that's yeah, like... Yeah. I'm, okay.
What do you think about Jane Jacobs? Or I what Broke Ass just
poor
said.
Poor Jane Jacobs poor is the most abused person in history. Like, she's
the
like...
The most abused person in history?
Like, I mean...
You lost all credibility.
No, like, her historical... Like, everyone uses Jane Jacobs for their own urbanist thing, right? People throw Jane mm-hmm. Jacobs as being mm-hmm. anti-YIMBY, and then YIMBYs throw Jane Jacobs as, like... It's just, like... I mean, like, abuse... Sorry.
She's had the reality of what she actually did and didn't do. Right. Like, manipulated.
Right. Yeah, you know.
Well, she went toe-to-toe with Robert Moses.
She did, totally.
He lost. Right. He was the most powerful man in the East Coast.
And I will also say, Mission was created by a neighborhood deciding that redevelopment couldn't come into the Mission after it went to the film. But then the Mission was created, and 40 years later, they let a bunch of white people on the west side create the Eastern Neighborhoods plan. So, I mean, it's just, you know.
We have this, like, okay, what were the problems that Jane Jacobs was fighting, right? We were blasting through neighborhoods with highways. We were declaring entire low-income communities blighted and, like, urban destroying renewal. Them. Right. And doing, and then we had people saying, oh, we'll build this public housing that'll replace the, like, low-income communities that are functioning, but we declare them to be not functioning, and we'll put you all in public housing, and then we'll chronically underfund it, and then we'll say that, look, you are out there where there's no services and no connection to any jobs and whatever, and then we'll complain about there being crime and further defund public housing. That whole system, right, is completely fucked up. And the solutions in general that they came up with to deal with those crisis of what we were doing to our cities was to create the ability for one person or complaints-based community thing to say, stop. What you are doing is wrong. Don't do that. And now we have the inverse of that problem. It only takes one person saying, I don't want you to build that housing, to stall housing production. And so you have parking lots where people will come out and say, well, we really need to maintain the level of parking in this district. If you add more people, it'll impact me negatively, hijacking the system mm-hmm. and saying, don't do that, right? And that's like, how do we deal with the fact that, like, the problems that these solutions were designed, like, we shouldn't blast through our cities with highways. We shouldn't have, like, total top-down development strategies where you shove people into underfunded public housing. That all is really bad. The other thing that we have now, which is that nothing happens, is also bad.
Sure.
And, like, I would say we need to pull these, you know, you need to have strong tenants protections, and you need to have mm-hmm. a lot of mm-hmm. housing production, and you need to have the ability for it to be built in the wealthiest neighborhoods, mm-hmm. right? This is like a holistic
kind of... Where I live is, like...
You're in the Mission?
I'm in the Mission-Soma border.
Nice.
So you want to put a fucking navigation center next to my house? Fuck yeah. Awesome. Want to know why? Because all we have is tents.
Yeah, right.
You want to build a... Why not?
We need to put one out on the west side.
We need to put a few on the west side.
It always cracks me up when they say that the services aren't somewhere, because, like, the navigation center is the service, man. For God's sakes.
Yep.
And, like, you know, and so, like, the whole... Going back to Tokyo... Like, okay, so, like, SB 827, right? Like, there's this state...
It's not Tokyo.
No, that's what I'm saying. Oh, okay. So 45 to 85 feet is actually a lot of the buildings you probably think are really cool throughout San Francisco are 55 to 65 feet.
But yeah, we made you do research on 827, so...
Yeah, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, so talk, Stuart.
But I'd like to know what you think. Who out there knows one thing I've ever had an opinion on? That's ridiculous.
Stuart.
How many floors is 85 feet?
Eight.
Eight and a half.
15-story, like, nice retail on the bottom, and then 10 per.
So, like, 15 feet will be the ground floor, and then 10 feet for every floor above. Gotcha. That's a really good way to estimate how many stories.
So, like the Hobart building. It's like the original version of a skyscraper.
Yep.
Skyscrapers were originally eight floors.
When people were only, like, 4 feet tall.
Right.
And, you know, and only men with property could vote.
No.
I thought the Hobart building's like 100 feet.
I'm saying... Like that era, like, you know, like...
Yeah, but I'm saying more like the large, like, white marble, or, you know, like, in the marina with... Or, like, you know, down... Not Lombard, but
Eight stories. We all know what eight-story buildings look like.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like...
More than a single-family home.
The way the bill is written, from what I understand thus far, after looking at the planning department...
Yeah. Thanks for that, planning. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, fuck off planning.
Yeah.
And keep that in. We're not editing that off.
Well, it's not. I mean, it's, and it's not like they're. I mean, they're a semi-conservative group comparatively. You know.
Oh yeah, yes. For sure.
So like,
they're hiring for the historical department. That's all you need to know.
So, but you know, they're talking about how like,
are they really?
Yeah.
You know, some of the problems right now with mm-hmm. it are that like, it basically the entire city would be zoned for.
45 to 85 feet.
Because it's like anything that's near a transit mm-hmm. route, yeah. which is any bus line, which is, I mean, it's so.
Wait, so is that, I want to get right, the whole, if the whole city could build five, because in some places it's just five stories, 5 to 8 stories, you think that that would be a bad thing?
I don't think the whole, yeah, I think.
Why?
Because
I do think this is important, right? Yeah. To like really sit and like, like feel out in your bones, why is 8 stories bad?
I don't think that the entire city needs to be 8 stories.
I don't think so either, but the point of zoning is to say that like the max it could be, right, would be 8 stories. So like not every building would be 8 stories. It would like, if somebody owned a single family sure. home, would be able to like tear it down and build. In most of those places it's a 5-story building, mm-hmm. right? But like a 5 to 8-story right. apartment building that, like, I think we all, like, I've lived in a 5 to 8-story apartment building. Like, they're
sure
sort of fine. I think what's that the, what do you, we, what what do you feel about it? What we need is, like,
better protections for renters and tenants totally. Where we are right now. Because,
we completely agree.
Well, no.
Well, if that land's going to skyrocket in value, you're going to have people be like, well, fuck, I need to do that, too. I'm going to evict this person mm-hmm. who's in my property mm-hmm. right now.
So we have strong tenants protections, and I have no problem with us strengthening them further, right? Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. like, we're going to hopefully pass some version that'll be awesome of a fully funded right to civil counsel. We have one of the lowest eviction rates in, like, we have the strongest tenants protections. I have no problem with strengthening them. But, like, I do want to make sure we're separating this. Like, you said you have a problem with 8-story buildings, right? Tenants being protected is sort of in one category.
Right.
But you have said you have a problem with all of the city having the potential to have 8-story buildings in it.
Sure.
And I want to live with that architectural.
None of these things live by themselves. None of these mm-hmm. issues live by themselves. They're all, you know, they're all conjoined, mm-hmm. you know? So to build these buildings, you also have to deal with the reality of what comes along with those buildings. And some of that is the tenants' things. It's
so if every tenant was protected, mm-hmm. got a massive right buyout, return. Right to return,
right.
like whatever, right? And we're only, or if we, even if we just limited it to single family homes, owner occupied, mm-hmm. right? Is the 8-story building still freaky deaky?
I don't think it's freaky deaky. I just don't want an entire city that, I mean, you lose some of the charm of what makes a city beautiful, mm-hmm. you know? And like, if you're gonna, like, if we tore down half the Victorians and fucking built 8-story fucking buildings, we're not San Francisco anymore. And I'm not saying that we need, the Victorians aren't what make us completely, but I think that we need to maintain certain areas that, like, that don't need to be fully absorbed. And I'm fine, I mean, the West Side is huge.
Right.
It doesn't have, we don't have to build fucking 8-story buildings from, you know, Trader Joe's on Masonic all the way to the fucking ocean, mm-hmm. but like, I'm not opposed to definitely building some of it.
Right, like 55
feet.
But
if you made 80 stories, right, if you made 80 feet, not 80 mm-hmm. stories,
yeah.
sorry.
Well, I mean,
if you
made 80, that'd be cool, too.
That'd be cool, right. But if you made 8, that, it wouldn't just be bulldozer, right? We're not talking about eminent domaining.
Right.
We're talking about giving a homeowner of a Victorian the right option to decide if they want to. And I'm sorry, but, like, you know, most of the ticky-tacky Victorians are, like, not architectural marvels. Like, some of them are wonderful, and we can do historical preservation of, like, whatever. But, like, I don't know. Like, I lived in the West Side for a little bit, and on Geary, and it was very depressing. you know, there's not enough human beings to actually support a vibrant retail.
Sure.
You know, you're, like, it felt like I was living on the side of a highway. There just weren't very many humans out there, and it was depressing. And I understand that, like, some people like a suburban lifestyle, but, like, also I feel like that whole lifestyle is actually, I think people are selecting less. Our generation is not wanting that as much. And also, like, historically, communities have grown. And, like, it would have been 100 years ago perfectly normal for one of those buildings to be torn down and become a 6-unit apartment building.
Sure.
And that just doesn't, it's illegal to do that now. And it seems to me perfectly reasonable to make it legal to build an 8-story building and not every, it won't happen everywhere all at once. It gives us the ability to grow over time instead of like stifling that forever and then driving up prices in the Mission.
I think that we should be building all over the city for sure. I just don't think that, I mean, I personally don't want to live in a city that's eight, that everything is that big. Like, 'cause like, you lose what makes the city partially, you know? Like, I mean, if it's like, if everywhere we went was all huge buildings.
It's 8 stories huge to you?
Yeah, they're pretty big buildings.
Okay.
Okay, because 8 stories is mid-rise, right? And we're talking 5 to 8, which is fine right. also, but like, what are, like, you say we're going to lose the city if we build 5 to 8 story buildings, and I say, if we do not build more 5 to 8 story buildings, our entire generation will lose.
Sure.
Every artist, every interesting person, every person who is not devoted to making money will be unable to get here.
I agree with you. And I'm not saying that, for me, it's not all or nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a really good point. Like, the West Side has a ton of, like, these corner lots that are either, like, vacant gas station or abandoned gas station or, like, literally just a fucking plot of grass.
Right.
And, like, that's where it would happen. And the thing about San Francisco is we have this group called the RBA, the Residential Builders Association, and they actually only specialize in between 45 and 85-foot buildings. Like, they don't build... Like, I hate the Millennium Tower... Also,
right.
You know, they don't do that shit. And they are like, the thing about it is we are...
You just hate the Millennium Tower because it's tilting.
Actually, I'm happy that it's tilting for reasons that I won't say. But, you know, like, I just think that the thing that people don't realize is you say let the market, you know, do the market. Or I'm saying don't let the market do the market. But what I'm saying is the reason that housing is so expensive is because we've made it so that only the Millennium Tower... or 100% right. super subsidized affordable housing can be built. And we have this industry.
And everything else is preserved in amber in the name of neighborhood character. And
right.
then all the characters are kicked out of the neighborhood.
And then we have this industry that's just pining to be able to build out on the West Side. And all they want to do is build 45, 55-foot wood frame apartment buildings that don't cost as much money and thus won't need as much rent.
Right.
And like... that exists, and it's actually existed for like 45 years.
Sure.
And we are, the voters, are getting in the way of them doing that.
I think that, like, it's a fine idea to start building out those spots and those plots, you know? Like, I mean, I'll take all of them, you know? But I think that what I worry about is, you know, and this goes back to, like, because, like, once again, it doesn't work in a vacuum. It does not work in a vacuum. And what I saw, you know, I've lived in the Mission or around the Mission for a long time, and when it all started there, the greed machine just took off, and you had people evicting old ladies and evicting, you know, like families and people who are disabled, you know, and like, so if...
But I don't think greed machine, you know, whatever.
It was evicting so that we didn't build more units, is that we could take that one unit.
The people who, the people who I would turn that rage on, right, is Glen Park. Glen Park surrounded their BART station with single-family home-only zoning, you know? And, like, the only reason that the green machine was targeting the Mission, I mean, not the only reason, obviously everything's complicated, but the green machine could...
Greed or green.
You know.
Works both ways.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas in Glen Park, you would have had a homeowner be able to decide, you know what, I'm going to cash out and I'm going to let somebody turn... You know, I'm going to make... whatever, $6 million, $2 million, $1 million, selling my home and letting somebody build a 6-unit walk-up apartment building, right? Which would have been like normally what would have happened. Instead, nothing happened in Glen Park, and everything was funneled into the Mission because low-income people did not have the ability to say no. And
right.
Like,
and again, the West Side, the progressives. The like literally Tom Amiano and Chris Day, like,
but
the,
when you talk about
people.
Protect the pretty, you're talking about Glen Park, you're not talking about the Mission.
I've never been to Glen Park.
Exactly. Let's throw the shit out of those
Where's
people.
Where's Glen Park again? Where is it?
It's the next BART station.
I know where Glen Park is. But seriously, like, just for listeners out there, like,
that's
like,
what makes me so mad. You haven't been to Glen Park.
I've been there like once, twice.
I want to go. Let's go.
It's
we'll go.
So cute.
We'll go do
It'll
a live.
Make you angry.
We'll go do a live. We'll go do a live. Fuck you, Glen Park podcast on a sunny day in the parking lot.
When you say we can't make everything. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I've been yelling a lot.
You have.
Like when you say like protect the architecture, you're protecting the Glen Park people.
Well, I think, what about, why don't
what
we
about
start?
What about the Sea Cliff people?
Let him talk.
Fuck Sea Cliff.
Fuck Sea Cliff, cool.
Let's yeah, hit. Fuck Sea Cliff.
We're going to bring out the guillotine too?
Yes.
I'm not opposed to that I'm not opposed to that by any means. Yeah, I mean, I think, I'm not opposed to building a building tall, and but I think we start off with the plots that exist mm-hmm. and start building that
yeah.
shit out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we give more incentives for people to build large and affordable housing. I mean, because mm-hmm. like what we saw, there was some fuckery with that when they bought that McDonald's.
The in Haydash,
yeah.
That's the near the entrance to Golden Gate Park.
Right.
Right.
Like, fuck those neighbors. Like, you know, because the people complaining about putting...
Yeah.
Like, no.
But that's a really good point. So, like, you bring up a good example. So, they bought that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the same kind of zoning as... at 17th and Folsom, Maida and Chinatown Community Development Corp are building a beautiful 85-foot, 100% affordable building.
At 17th and Folsom?
Yeah. So, there's the park there. There's that vacant lot that's next door to the park. That's in design to be
yeah. okay,
affordable.
Yeah.
Okay. So, that's actually lower zoning than where the McDonald's is. And the city, immediately once they got that lot, was like, you have to build as tall and dense as humanly possible.
Right.
So, flash forward to the McDonald's. City buys that land,
mm-hmm.
and they decide to they order an EIR, like an environmental impact report.
Right.
Even though we could go to 85 feet there, they order it only for 75 feet because, quote unquote, you know, we don't want to deal with the neighbors. And so, like... there still is this inherent fuck you to the mission by people on the west side of our city.
Right.
And like, that is what needs to be... Yeah, it's great that we're telling the neighbors...
started
yeah,
out...
Yeah, we were negotiating against ourselves.
...negotiated down, and the neighbors still came out opposed, and we are still losing units.
Well, see, my thing with that is... And I think... I was talking about this with somebody recently, is that liberal and progressive people need to be willing to actually... except the things in their neighborhoods that they espouse,
mm-hmm.
you know, like it's one thing to be pro poor if you're never around poor people.
Yeah,
you
right.
Like
the Noe Valley Charm Committee will tell you that they're for pro poor stuff.
They've rebranded. They've rebranded. They are the Noe Valley.
They're the Charm Committee.
They're the Charm Committee. No. They're the Noe Valley Neighborhood Council.
Mm-hmm.
Neighborhood council.
But there really was a thing called the Noe Valley Charm.
They were Protect Noe's Charm.
Whatever.
It's so funny. Them. One of the nicknames for Baltimore is Charm City.
Uh-huh.
And a friend of mine, her husband was a cop there at one point.
Oh.
And he said that...
David Simon?
Yeah, it was David Simon. And he said that the...
Is that a sports joke?
He wrote The Wire. God damn it,
sorry,
Laura.
Sorry. I don't do pop culture.
And he said that the nickname should be like, instead of Charm City, should be like, hey, we tried.
Full disclosure, I lived in Baltimore for 5 years.
Oh yeah,
it's
what?
An awesome place. I'd rather not get into that. I technically helped ruin the world, but now I'm running a non-profit affordable housing company, so I'm making amends.
Okay, so then I want to circle back, because you made reference to the planning department document
mm-hmm.
about 827, and I think that the line that is being missed that I want to like circle back to is SB 827 would reduce local affordable housing incentive programs, but may result in more affordable housing overall. It'll result in more affordable housing overall. All right, now you talk.
Discuss.
Why are we going to come out opposed to more affordable housing overall?
In the name
of neighborhood character.
Well,
defend yourself.
Defend myself? I don't write that fucking thing. I mean, look, I want to take a quick look at this thing, you know, because I'm not nearly as wonky as you all are, but, like,
I just don't like it when you say you're afraid of 8-story buildings, because what if it meant, if 8-story buildings meant that we would have less homeless people, like, is that, like, why, like, what, where's your priority?
But shouldn't we build buildings for homeless people specifically? Shouldn't we build
buildings? Want to, but, like, you can't do
I'm
that
I'm running
without...
a ballot initiative that is going to speed up the production of subsidized affordable housing, only subsidized affordable housing, so, like, yes.
Great.
But, like, what...
We can't build those buildings without changing the zoning.
That.
And we can't change the zoning without making it zoning specific to everything. And that's the fact. And we can't do that because local control, which is what the planning department decided to bold caps lock in their letter only, is such
they
that
they suck at the local control. Like, I feel like if you you're having your toys taken away from
you
because you've spent 30 years
right.
with local control mm-hmm. being bad at it, and mm-hmm. now we have this. So now you lose your local control.
We have to upzone everything, basically, and to build the buildings for homeless people, like affordable housing. That's it's so expensive that you need to have that tall of a building because you need that many units to get enough money to just like run the building. Mm-hmm. And so like it's a catch 22 because the west side of San Francisco only wants market rate housing or wants no housing, and we want to build affordable and everything everywhere. And the only way to get that is to upzone.
For me, like what it comes down to is I could give a fuck about condos and I could give a fuck about market rate housing. I'm down to build housing for poor people. I'm down to build housing for artists and teachers and nurses and shit. So whatever. So what that takes.
Well, nurses make too much to qualify for most subsidized affordable housing.
Well, maybe we can.
And teachers too.
That's absurd.
But
they could be multi-tiered affordable housing.
Okay, so we're gonna. I mean, I just right.
We need to.
So you want to have? I want to pull this out, right? So you're talking right, nurses, teachers, most middle income people. Mm-hmm. You want us to build subsidized housing for those people, or you want us to build? Would speak more.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I don't want to live in a place where everybody who works there has to commute in. Unless,
totally agree with
you know
that.
What I'm saying? Like, and I don't care if you're a restaurant worker or a nurse. You know, like if you are giving a valid part of yourself to the city, you should be able to live in the city you work in. You know,
that's what I'm fighting for.
And so whatever that looks like, but like I don't want to just keep making shit for the rich people.
I agree with that.
And
what
so,
if?
Because to be honest, I can give a fuck about the West Side. I don't live there, and that's the same idea that like that flips around. You know, the Sunset and Richmond are nice. I like to visit there. You know, but like my life is impacted by the things that you know, needles and diarrhea and stuff like that are on the street.
Well, but your life is more impacted by the things that the Richmond is doing and the things that Palo Alto and Cupertino are doing than anything else.
I mean, I'm very, very, very for Palo Alto and these cities building for the jobs that they've created.
Yeah.
So why is Palo Alto different to you than the Richmond?
They're probably even far less densely populated than the Richmond.
They're actually like just a bigger square footage version of exactly the Richmond.
Because to me, I think, you know, the suburbs of San Francisco is the Richmond, the Sunset, mm-hmm. and Palo Alto,
right?
And like Brisbane, right? Like when we're talking about how do these places
but also the Richmond and the Sunset didn't create the jobs that, I mean, those jobs are created in Menlo Park, they're created in Palo Alto, they're created
Francisco has added 8 jobs for every 1 unit of housing over the past 15 years.
And Google
so like
and
in
Facebook.
A lot of ways, the Richmond is actually, as far as our whole jobs housing balance, we are out of balance.
And Google and Facebook and all of those tech companies have actually, Google took 6 years to get 10,000 housing units approved in Mountain View. Like, they have actually all submitted and tried to build stuff. That's the other thing. Like, we demonize them, and the tech companies have a lot of shit that you can demonize them for, but it's the Palo Alto City Council that can fuck itself.
No doubt.
You know? And I get frustrated that I think that gets lost a lot. You know, like, they've asked, let's build housing, and they're told
are we doing
no.
too much two-on-one?
Yeah.
Stuart, do you feel too beat up on, or do you need
I don't give a shit
more?
About that. I just, but I mean, you
we
know,
gave him whiskey, for fuck's sake.
I'm just not nearly wonky, you know? Like, that's the thing, I'm not nearly wonky enough. Leave this part and whatever. Like, when I said fuck the Richmond and the Sunset, I don't mean that literally. I'm not, but,
no, because you've been on both sides of the argument already. Foster Richmond, also, we can't possibly upzone the entire city. Which is it?
Well, I don't want the entire... I don't want to live... I don't want to be in a place where it's just fucking these big glass buildings from here to the ocean. That's just like, why am I living in this city?
I guess that's what I was...
What if they're wood?
That's what I was trying...
Eight-story buildings are not glass.
There
are a lot of wood.
I guess that's the point I was trying to make with... And we are... Yeah, 2-on-1. That is the point I was trying to make with the RBA and like them existing. They don't build that. They build these wood frame... fucking normal San Francisco West Side apartment buildings. That's all they build. The glass stuff exists because we let the West Side make this area
right.
the only area where you could build stuff.
I remember when I lived in Brooklyn.
Where did you live in Brooklyn?
Did you gentrify Brooklyn?
I totally helped gentrify Brooklyn.
I tried.
I lived in East Williamsburg with a sound artist.
When was this?
2000. Danish.
Yeah. Yeah, I was living in Williamsburg, Bushwick, Carroll Gardens in 07, 08. And, you know, you'd have these pre-war buildings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you were living higher on the horse than me. I lived in a quote-unquote converted warehouse that I would say they did not finish converting.
They did not convert. It was just a warehouse.
We had windows that looked out. Case, right, so you have to have a window.
Conversion.
But they don't actually have to go outside, so they would look out on other parts of the apartment. It was funny. Anyway, sorry. Tell me your experience.
These things that, you know, these pre-war buildings, and next to it would be this fucking, like, thing that looked like it came from outer space. Mm-hmm. This glass three-story monstrosity. Or even just, like, looking right here, looking
three
at
three-story monstrosity.
Motherfucker, wait.
Okay.
Seriously. Yeah, I agree. Come on.
And then they're even just looking here at the Fox Plaza building, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they destroyed a beautiful old theater to build that building, and it's a hideous fucking building.
Right. We're in the Fox Plaza, and it's, like, a 28,000-story building.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm saying, like,
they're gonna, well,
it's ugly as fuck. It is an ugly building.
Okay, but you know? I'm sure the people who live there like living there, and the people who work here don't mind, you know, we're on the little side building. They're gonna build more, they're gonna tear this down eventually and build more housing on this ugly piece of it as well. I mean, I don't know, ugliness. Like, what?
Aesthetics are definitely
so aesthetics are part of it. I mean, like,
but right. They're like, I think they're, that's the thing about the Yimbys. The aesthetics are very, very, very
low. I don't
low
care about aesthetics.
On our list of cares. Like, we just want everyone to have a piece of house. We just want everyone to have a room. And if aesthetics are ugly, then whatever.
Sutro Tower was the most ugly thing.
It was going to ruin
the
world.
There was an outcry about Sutro Tower, and it's on
our boy
t-shirt.
Is wearing it on a t-shirt.
You're wearing it on a t-shirt. It was the abomination end of days.
So was the Golden Gate Bridge when they built it.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
So
totally.
Like,
but this thing really is an abomination, this Fox Plaza.
Yeah, no, Fox Plaza is a fucking
the
urbanist.
The thing that's wrong with Fox hellscape. Plaza is the way that the it's disgusting and wind and whatever.
I mean, it's just an ugly building.
I guess, but, like, who cares? I don't even look up at it. Because, like, most of your experience of a streetscape is the interaction with the singles, with the retail
I
stuff.
I look at all of it.
I mean, okay.
But I'm not looking at the trend and not stepping poop.
Yeah, you know? Well, you gotta look down.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm all for restorative regulations about making the retail more interactive and making it so that, like, a vacancy tax on empty retail. Mm-hmm.
Like a motherfucker.
Like, yeah. Totally. Good
and that is
that
a
stuff.
Shitty thing about, like, the one-way glass that you get down here.
But just because,
like,
you think this is an ugly building also does not mean that everyone does.
I don't know anybody who thinks it's a pretty... But look at that fucking building.
But who cares? Design by committee is the worst kind of design.
No, but that's the thing. It's we get... Okay, fine.
10 years from now, what if they decide... People
it's been there for 40 years.
No, you know who likes... there's a whole brutalist architecture. My college was half neoclassical, pretentious, white column stuff, and the other half was brutalist. And the thing that people... like are like, what's the architectural thing? The brutalist architecture is fucking miserable, in my opinion. All the cool, interesting people live on the ugly, brutalist side of campus, which has, like, it's all made of cement and harsh.
What college is this?
Hamilton in upstate New York.
Fucking hippie.
This is not a hippie college at all.
Hippie. Yes.
And the other half is where, like, the broskies live on the neoclassical side. And the neoclassical side is all faux neoclassical, right? That's,
right.
Like, nice, but actually is not an interesting architectural statement because it's all, like, fake architectural statements. Whereas, like, the brutalist hideousness is actually, like, this, like, interesting architectural statement. All of the cool people live in the ugly side of campus. I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry for Hamilton Broskis who lived. I'm sure you were cool too. You played a lot of hockey. I'm sure that was great.
I'm sure you had friends that were Broskis.
You know. But I don't know. I don't care about architecture because I think that, like you lived in Brooklyn.
I just don't think
I lived
it should
in Brooklyn
get
in
a
warehouse.
Of
the warehouse was not like. The warehouse was never intended to be an architectural statement, and now it is. Like, warehouse architecture of, like, rehabbing these, like, old industrial spaces is, like, a whole movement, and it's cool. And, like, that was not space that was thought of as beautiful.
Right, but I think that if we plan on upzoning the city, we have to keep in mind what the city looks like, and we have to move towards a city beautiful movement with our architecture too.
That's fine, and we can do that. I just think that we get that's something.
If you say we'll upzone so long as you city beautiful, you can fucking spend all your time figuring out what the fuck that means
at your community meetings.
So long as we get the upzoning and the housing, I don't care. I won't come to those meetings.
I'll go.
Can I have some more whiskey, please?
Yes.
I also just don't think it's right for people who care. I'm sorry. This is going to be my last, and then I'll let you talk more. But I don't think that it's right for a capital P progressive movement to be about architecture.
Talking poor at the same time.
Like, it's like architecture or homeless people. What's your priority?
Thanks. Obviously, I'm into getting homeless people off the street.
Well, I don't know. You're talking about architecture a lot.
You can believe in getting people off the street and having things look good, too. I mean, look, I think that we...
This is why the West Side has hijacked your argument.
Look, build on the West Side, like I said earlier. I mean, like, it doesn't really affect my life at all. But like, you know...
All right, so you'll support us when we go for the West Side?
I still need to know more. I need to know more about what's going on, to be honest. Things on basic level sound fine, but, you know, looking at the logistics... I have been drinking, have I? The logistics of it. I didn't show up and think I'd be drinking. I was like, oh, we're gonna have a little talk, and all of a sudden you're like plying me with whiskey and yelling at me.
You stop doing it.
This is the fun part. All right.
Closing statements.
I'll go first so that you can rebuttal.
You've talked the least. That's a good point.
Give people the rebuttal. Oh my god. I'm editing all this sassafrassy out. Closing statements. I will keep it short, which is to say, I don't care about architecture. End. My mother and my grandmother can be very upset that I said it publicly, that I don't care about architecture. I do not care about architecture. I think architects are the people who should be allowed to experiment and do cool, interesting things that maybe I will walk by and say, wow, that is the ugliest fucking building I have ever seen.
Like Fox Plaza.
And then, like, we have something to talk about, like variety and interesting, and like ugly things are wonderful. Like, why is it that people can't walk around with ugly faces? Like, this is a good thing for things to be ugly.
So this is your short statement?
That's my short statement. Go. Next. Argument for pretty or whatever.
I have no argument.
Closing
I just
want to
build
Haas.
Affordable housing. Just give me all the money and let me go fucking do it, please.
You know what the funniest part about the affordable housing problem is that they started making affordable subsidized housing too pretty so that people don't recognize that it's affordable housing. And so everyone's like has in their head still the old idea of public.
They think about the Fox Plaza.
They think
actually.
About Fox Plaza and dilapidated housing. And so like,
not knowing that they live next door to a beautiful affordable housing.
Exactly.
Building.
You guys have done a good job like not
You're welcome,
it.
World.
Yeah. It's a little sad.
Well, thanks for the whiskey.
No problem. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no,
that was good, man.
And I like
don't
what it comes
that
down to.
Out.
What it comes down to is, you want to build on the West Side? I think that's fine. I think I don't want to see, like I said, I don't want to see 8-story buildings from here to the ocean. But I think like we need to build in more places in the city than just South of Market, just the Mission, just this area. But I'm not that interested in seeing a city that's like nothing but 8 stories as far as you can see.